Praise your Lord.
Praise the
living. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's so good to be redeemed. To have that faith and assurance in our heart that you've given to us, Lord. Nothing that we've done but what you've done for us. And Lord, we love you today. We worship you, Lord. Realizing you alone are worthy. There's no man worthy but you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we ask you to come. We invite you to come, Lord. Once more, Lord, we ask you to come and dwell with us. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Just move aside from our minds all the cares of this life and just to focus and dedicate this little time we have together, Lord, that your word could penetrate through our being into our souls and that you could quicken your word to us, that it could become alive and made manifest. Lord, save the lost in our midst, Lord. Heal the sick. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Only you can do these things, Father. We thank you for what you've already done. Bless the reading of your word now, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While we're standing, can we turn to the scriptures today?
Amen.
Thank you for coming today.
Praise the
Lord. Let's turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, and then I'm also going to read from the Gospel of John chapter 8. But let's start in Romans 11, and we'll start with verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then at this time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Let's turn to John chapter 8, the Gospel of John. Chapter 8, and I'm going to just read a small portion of this. Gospel of John chapter 8. Verse 23. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this is your word, Father. And I realize that anyone that can read the pages of this book, but it takes your great Holy Spirit, Lord, to come and to break open the bread of life to us, Lord. Help us today. Take control of us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I know Brother Jeremiah was here last week. I heard good things. How many enjoyed the service last week? So he seems like a fine brother. I wish I could have been here to be that. So, praise the Lord about that. And I know Jeremy was at the wedding, so I guess we didn't have the piano. And you know, until you don't have something, you don't appreciate it like you should, right? And so we should pray for, I think, other piano players. Maybe there's one hiding here. And that would give Jeremy a relief, and if he's not here, and then other people that can lead the songs service as well. That would help Tim when he can't be here. So just pray about that, you know. All things work together for good. Just the other announcements. Tim already mentioned the fellowship meal after service. Everybody's welcome to come. Looks like there's plenty of food there. And we need to update our contact information with you. So Amber and I are going to work together. And I wish I would have brought it today with the fellowship meal, but a list that you can review and say, that's good, just check it off. Again, what I worry about is if we cancel the service due to weather or some related thing, and somebody shows up and didn't know. So we want to be able to contact you. We're not sending out a lot of advertisements or anything like that. No junk email. If you have a cell phone number that can receive a text, that helps us because that's an easy way to be updated. If you have an email that you check, that helps. If you don't check your email, then don't bother giving it to us, right? Because that's not going to help. And then if you don't have a texting or email, it's really critical that you call the phone number that we leave a voicemail if we're canceling the service. Because if there's any weather at all, if you have any question at all, please call that number because it's easy for me to update that. And then I know that you know. So we used to be able to call everybody, but just too many now. And so this is the way we do it. So we'll update that next week. We're still working on the details of the May trip. So I ask for your prayers because we have to make decisions about that. And Tim has been a great help, and appreciate Colleen and Tim helping with that. So we're trying to decide where would we stay. We don't want to stay at different places. You know, we want to find a place because we're going to be there Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. So that's four nights. So I hope everybody can come. You know, our intention is to actually, I was talking to Tim about it today, to actually not have service on that weekend, hoping that mostly everybody can come, but we'll see how that works out. So I realize I need to get some more details before we ask for a commitment from you. So praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to that. You know, I mean, doesn't time go by fast?
Amen.
You know, I just can't get over how fast time goes by. You know, it's just unbelievable that things that I think just happened were years ago. You ever have that? Wait a minute, that just happened. No, that was 2 years ago. And I realized, you know, someday we're not going to be here. We're not. This life doesn't keep going on forever. So really the only sensible people are the ones that are planning for the end of this natural carnal life. Most people, in my opinion, seem to not even think about it until that moment that they're about to die. And I know my wife doesn't like me talking about dying, but I think about it all the time. This world is not my home.
Amen.
The spirit that's in me is not welcome by the majority of this world. And I'm grieved by this world, and I'm grieved living in this world. Now, I realize we have a purpose here, and we want to serve God's purpose. But, you know, I think as a Christian, we should be looking forward to the next life. And we shouldn't, that shouldn't be crazy to think about that my life is going to end here. This carnal life is going to end. We're not going to live in this tabernacle forever. But if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, praise God, there's another. Do you believe that? And if you're a Christian and you've been truly born again in the Spirit of God, you've already passed from death into life. I'm already dead. I died long ago when that eternal life of God came and touched me. And now my whole life looks forward to real life, realizing this life is really a great trial for a Christian. It's a battle every day. We just went through the greatest battle ever fought. What a wonderful message. And for those of you that were able to come on the midweek services, I think everybody realized dividing that up into smaller portions, a three-hour sermon into 3 1-hours that we can absorb, it's better. And when God told the prophet, store up food for a time down the road, that's now.
Amen.
We have food that can help us spiritually. And so I really think
Hallelujah.
It's a good thing for us to divide it up. Now, the next one that we're going to start this week, this Thursday, Lord willing, is the spoken word is the original seed. And that's a 6-hour sermon. And we're going to divide it up into 6 weeks.
Amen.
And if you're sitting there saying, I don't need to come, I've already heard that, I can listen at home, you're deceiving yourself. Because when we come in here under an atmosphere of focusing on God, focusing on the Word of God, we receive more than if we're riding through a car and distracted driving or you're at home and you're cooking and you're... Listen, I'm just encouraging you, you're missing out if you think it's better to go watch television or go do something else instead of coming here on a Thursday night and feeding on a message from God. And this message, Spoken Word is the Original Seed, to me is one of the greatest messages that we've been given.
Amen.
It is packed full. If you bring a copy book and you just want to write down notes, and that's what I do, and I look back and I say, "How 6 hours, yes, but how did he pack all that into 6 hours? And he did say, in this sermon today, Brother Bram said, I'm going to say some personal things, and I'm not going to say them anymore. And he didn't. He said some special things in this sermon that he never said anywhere else. What are they, Brother John? I'm not telling you. I used to have the mindset, well, they can listen to tapes on their own, and you know. But sadly, I don't think people are. And you're missing out. God did not do all that he did to vindicate a prophet of God, a promised prophet, according to, he did not do all that he did to keep Brother Branham and vindicate that ministry for nothing. There was a voice behind the sign. And the message had a purpose. And he even said in the message Absolute, which we'll listen to down the road after we get through some, he said, rapturing faith, she's laying in the messages. So I want to get out of here. I want to receive from this message all that God intended for us to receive. Because I do believe, just as in the Bible, there's portions of Scripture that were quickened in different days and ages. You know, like, you know, Hebrews 13:8 was always laying there all down through the church ages. And then God sends an eagle prophet at the end time. And he talks about Hebrews 13:8, and it becomes alive.
Hallelujah.
And he used that little scripture. It was quickened in such a way, in such simplicity, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah.
And he is the Word. And you can't say days of miracles is past, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And to my amazement, we have people following Brother Branham's message that are acting like the days of miracles is past. No, we are them that believe to the saving of our soul.
Amen.
He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Like Tim said, I'm expecting him to be the same today. And last week I was preaching out at Brother Ed Hunter's, and I felt the Spirit of God boldness come on me to take the Word of God and believe the Word of God and act upon the Word of God. And I believe that's what we need. We don't need a new word. We don't need a new gospel. We don't need a new message. We need the Holy Spirit to quicken that which we've already been given.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So I didn't start preaching yet. Don't turn the timer back, Amber. Back. So. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. All right. Let's get into the message today, and I am happy to be here.
Amen.
I'm happy to serve God. You know, sometimes I feel so bad about myself. I'm like, Lord, I'm not even worthy to serve you. You ever feel that way?
Amen.
I feel so against myself sometimes. I'm so mad at myself. I'm like, I'm not even worthy to talk to God. But where else can we go?
Amen.
I can't give up on God. I can't. He is the answer. When you're feeling good, he's the answer. When you're feeling bad about yourself, he's the answer. He is everything. He is everything to us. And that's the revelation we need to have, is it's not about us, it's all about him. So I want to speak about grace and truth today. And I was praying and meditating on this subject, and kind of went a direction that I wasn't expecting. So, you know, don't you love the simplicity of God? In Romans there, Paul was looking at Israel and that they were blinded. Israel was blinded. Is that right? So that the Gentiles could have an opportunity. They were blinded. Then we see Jesus talking to some of those Jews that were actually blind to who he was. Right? So they were blinded. Pharisees and scribes. That same chapter that we read in John 8, the beginning of that chapter, you can read it for yourself later, but that's where the scribes and Pharisees brought that woman caught in adultery to Jesus. And the Bible says that they might accuse him. You know, think about how crazy that is. Here's these really religious people trying to find something to accuse their Messiah. How blind can you be? They were pretty blind. And people can be pretty blind today. So, Israel, if they had not been blinded, think about it. If they were not blinded and they would have accepted the Messiah, then how would the plan go for the Gentiles? See, in God's great plan, He always wanted to turn from just that one nation to all the world. He's the God of everybody, see? But he had chosen Israel for a purpose, but all through the Old Testament, there was types and shadows of something greater happening. For instance, you can remember when Jacob and Esau were boys, and Jacob was the younger, and the blessing should go to the elder. But then Jacob got the birthright through subtlety. Even he got the birthright, and then when the blessing came out, the elder shall serve the younger. See, Jacob got the birthright of the firstborn through that interaction. And what's all that pointing to? See, Israel was first, but the Gentile bride was elevated above Israel. And so we remember when Jacob was older and his name became Israel, and then Joseph, you know, he loved Joseph and Joseph was gone. And what a story. Just, I still cry when I read that story. When Jacob finally sees Joseph again alive. You know, maybe that's like a type of the end time church really seeing Jesus alive again in the church. What will that be to us? How emotional will that be for us? So Jacob is Israel and he sees Joseph alive and he's reunited, and it's just a wonderful reuniting. I believe there's a reuniting coming that is beyond anything we can imagine. And so when he gets back, and then Joseph, you can read it yourself, but I love this type in the Bible. It's in Genesis 48. And Joseph very carefully brings his two sons to Israel to be blessed. Amen. You know the story? Everybody that's read it and has a revelation is going, yes. He's bringing his two sons. And very carefully, Joseph puts Ephraim, the younger, on his right side. And Manasseh's the older on his left side, and he's coming towards his father so that Manasseh would get the right hand of Israel on him, and Ephraim would get the left hand. He wanted that right hand on the elder, right? Very carefully plans. And then Israel's older, and maybe his eyes were dim, but as he goes to bless the children, his right hand goes over here. His left hand goes over here. Is that right?
Amen.
See, through the cross, the elder got the blessing. The younger got the blessing of the elder. Through the cross. Through the cross.
Amen.
We get the blessing of Abraham.
Amen.
Do you understand the plan of God has always been that way? God's plan was always to have a Gentile bride. Praise God. And so I love that. I love those. You know, the Old Testament doesn't shout those things. But when you're reading and the Holy Spirit comes on you, it quickens to you, these things. And you see the revelation of it. Yes, it was pointing all along through the cross, through the hands crossing. Joseph tried to stop him. No, Daddy, I want that right hand on the elder. You know, sometimes we don't know what God's doing, right? God changed my hand. No, it has to be this way. You know, it had to be that way. Oh, God has a plan.
Amen.
I want us to completely trust that God is in control. He has a plan, no matter what it looks like, no matter if we don't understand, God has a plan.
Amen.
And though I don't understand everything happening in my life and in the world and in the church, I trust Him.
Amen.
Completely. Like Job, though He slay me, yet I will trust in Him. That's a revelation. That God's in control. So God's great plan was to turn from His chosen Israel and give grace to the Gentiles. How are we saved? Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. So what did we have to do with it anyway? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, if somebody's boasting about being saved, or somebody acts uppity over somebody else because they think they're greater than someone who's a sinner, they don't have a revelation at all about salvation. Salvation is a gift of God. It's a gift that He gave to you, not because you deserved it, but by the grace of God, He gave it to us. He gave us faith to believe. Grace was upon us. And if grace was not upon us, where would we be? Praise God. So I love that scripture in Romans verse 6 because, and we're going to get into this today. Romans 6, and if by grace, then it is no more works. If by grace, it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, I'm saved by grace, but I've been working really hard. And I deserve it. And I earned it. You can't. It doesn't work that way. Because then it's not grace. You earned it. If by grace, otherwise, and if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Do you understand that?
Amen.
Otherwise, work is no more work. I still think today that many Christians fall into the trap trying to save themselves by something they do. I still believe that today. And even though they don't say that, and even though in their mind they know what the scripture says, but it's down in that carnal nature, that flesh man, that part of us that needs to be mortified, the Bible said, wants to earn salvation, wants to earn it, wants to be good enough to be saved, wants to be better than them, the others that aren't saved. I'm not promoting being bad either. What I'm going after is that subconscious thought that believes I've got to earn this thing. See, and I believe the devil, he goes after that too. And that's where he works on you, because when you fail God, he's all over that. You failed. See, you're not saved. Wait a minute. If it's of works, it's no more grace. Oh, the devil hates that. The devil hates somebody that believes they're saved no matter what. Because what can he do with that? They have faith that Jesus paid it all. But look what you did. I know, but Jesus paid it all. But you're bad. You're no good. You're right, but Jesus paid it all. Fight against that nature that says, I got to earn this thing. Because you know what? We all fall short of the glory of God. So, Brother Branham talked about this many times, and I want to share with you something that I thought he said that was very good. I don't have the words up there, Maureen, so just got to bear with me. So praise the Lord. Someday we'll get so good, we'll be so techie, that when I have a quote, it'll be right up there. But we're not there yet. So this sermon was called The Unconditional Covenant That God Made With His People. Does that sound like a good sermon? The unconditional covenant. And Brother Rand says, I want to speak of the unconditional covenant God gave to man. Man has always tried to find a way to save himself. He tried to make himself a religion, work out his own salvation, and try to save himself. It's the nature of man to do that. It's the nature of man to do that. But not me, Brother John. I'm more special than you. And I got a greater revelation than Brother Branham. So that doesn't apply to me. Listen, you're deceiving yourself. It's in your nature. It's in your DNA. It's in that flesh man. He wants to save himself. And in the Garden of Eden, as soon as man realized he had sinned, instead of him running up and down the street in paradise saying, "Father, Father, where are you?" He was hiding. Adam went hiding. Praise God. He was hiding. And it was God running up and down hollering, "Adam, Adam, where art thou?" See the nature of man? Instead of coming out and confessing in the open and being sincere about it, saying, "God, I've sinned, forgive me," he'll run and hide behind something. That's our nature. That's what we're fighting against. That nature in us that wants to hide and cover ourselves. Now listen to what he said here. Hide behind something. And the one thing Adam did, which is a great strain on man, he made himself a homemade religion. Homemade religion. Now, we know the word religion means a covering. And Adam, instead of saying, "God, cover me," he made some aprons out of fig leaves, he and Eve. And they worked all right as long as God wasn't around. Love that. Listen to this. And when they come in the presence of God, they realize their fig leaf religion wouldn't work. Amen. And brother, there's so much of that today. This is Brother Branham. I'm afraid that you're going to find the same thing when God comes again. That homemade fig leaf religion won't stand in the presence of God. God had to make them a covering. Amen. See, it's only God's provided way of escape is the only way. How many people have you met? How many people have I met that say, "I think I'll be a good enough. I'm good enough. I'm good to people." And they try to be good enough. But the revelation is we can't be good enough. He had to provide a way of escape for Adam and Eve. He made a covering for them. He killed an animal, and that was all pointing to Calvary. He killed and shed blood of an innocent one. That's how God chose to save man then. And he made that decision. It's forever the same decision. Homemade religion, intellectualism doesn't do it. "I'm really smart, Brother John." That has nothing. I don't care if you're smart. That doesn't save you. "But I read the Bible every day." That's great. I want you to, but that don't save you. He paid the price. I'm saved because of what he did and not because of what I do or anything I'll ever do. You know, the gospel is good news. It's good news. How man-made religion turns into bad news. You know, you got to do this and you got to do that and you can't do that and you got to do this and you got to do that. And they make a law out of it. God help us. Let's leave his plan alone and just accept it the way he gave it to us. Now, I'm going to go further here. See, he says here, God had to make a covering for them. Now, if you'll notice, what caused the great thing in the beginning, God took a man for a partner and he made a covenant with man equal and told man, "If thou do this and not this," and man broke his covenant, and he always breaks his covenant. I know some sitting there going, "Not me. I keep my promises to God." All right. Man always breaks his covenant. Man just can't keep his promise. That's all. There's only one can keep his promise. That's God. Man cannot. He breaks his covenant every time with God. Well, again, Brother John, here's where I got a greater revelation than Brother Branham, and I can keep my promises to God. You're deceiving yourself. This is an ego prophet. This is an eagle messenger. This is a man who went high into the spiritual things. Man cannot keep his promises to God. Amen. That doesn't mean you don't try to live for God and live for God. But see, it shouldn't be to earn anything. It should be because we love him. Amen. Everything we do should be in appreciation, not in order to earn something. We've already been saved.
Hallelujah.
I'm already saved. I'm not earning salvation by serving God. I'm serving God because I want to. Because I love Him. I read my Bible not because I have to, but because I want to. I see the value of the Word of God. I see the value of serving Jesus Christ. I want to serve Him. And it matters, brother, sister. It matters how you approach Him and His Word. Help us, Lord. Man breaks his covenant every time. Right then and eating. Watch God. He said, I, personal pronoun, I will put enmity. Not if you'll do a certain thing. I'll send a redeemer. But I'll put enmity between her seed and the serpent's seed. And so I will do that. Not any conditions that Adam had to do. He said he would do it sovereignly. And now God has always made his covenant when he made it with man. And the greatest mistake Israel ever made was in Exodus 19 chapter when grace had already provided a savior. It had already provided a deliverer. It had already provided an atonement, a shed blood. Israel said, don't let God speak, let Moses speak. They wanted a law or commandments or something that they could do themselves. See, the nature of man trying to find something to do himself. Praise God. Trying to find something to do himself to merit salvation. So Exodus 19, I don't know if you ever studied it. I remember going back when Brother Branham was preaching, he said Exodus 19 was Israel's greatest mistake. So I go back in my Bible and I read Exodus 19. And then I go, well, maybe he meant Numbers 19. And I went over to Numbers 19. I didn't see it. I couldn't see what he was talking about. So like many things that we don't understand, I put it on the shelf. Boom. Don't understand, God. You need to help me. I'm a little dense. I'm slow. And later on, I remember I was just reading. You know, many times the greatest revelations I got from God, not when I was, God, give me revelation. I was just reading the Bible.
Amen.
See, low pressure systems, right? As Brian talks about. That's what we need. And just spend time with God. And you spend time with Him. And then He just gives you things.
Amen.
And I was just reading the first five books in the Bible. Just reading it through, you know. And I remember I got stuck in the middle of the law. You ever been there? And I was like, oh, get me out of here. Why would anybody want to be under the law? I do not want to be under the Jewish law. I'm not Jewish. Right?
Amen.
People say, well, we were saved by a Jewish carpenter. Listen, the blood in Jesus was the blood of God.
Amen.
He chose the Jews first, but then it transferred to the Gentiles. And read the book of Acts. When they tried to bring the laws into the grace covenant, they said, don't do that.
Amen.
Why would we want to bring laws into the covenant today? We're saved by grace through faith. But when? And we got to keep this day or that day? No! Help us, Lord. They wanted a law. And you see what grace had already done? Sent a deliverer, Moses sent an atonement, a shed blood sacrifice, a meeting between God and man. And after his grace had done all this, still Israel wanted something to do to merit their salvation. Isn't that just the way people are today? If you want to keep Sabbath days, quit eating meat, do something another. You want to do something to merit your salvation when it's just as free can be.
Amen.
Do you believe that? See, if you have the ability to believe that the way it was meant to be, you can accept the pardon unconditionally. You know what? You're saved by the grace of God. If you have, if you find within yourself that faith, that's the problem. People of the world, they can't see it. They're blind to it. See, that shows grace has taken place on you when you find within yourself that faith is, I believe He took my place. No matter what happens in my life, He paid it all. He took my sins on Himself. And when all the devils accuse you, you can still stand there saying, but devils, you may be right about me, but inside of me there's faith that says He took my place. I'm saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. People think we're crazy. But we're not crazy. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to who? To them that perish. But to us who are saved.
Amen.
It is the power of God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Wanted something to do themselves. I hear people say, oh, praise God. I sought God day and night. Brother Bram says, no, you never. You got to love that Kentucky hillbilly, huh? There never was a man sought God. God seeks man. Not man seeking God. Oh, you say, preacher, I did. No, you never. See, and then he goes back to the scriptures to understand. He said, Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. See, so it wasn't us coming after God. It was that the grace of God was upon us and drawed us. Listen, if you can feel conviction, praise God. Don't accept sin. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If you can feel conviction, say, I'm not happy with where I am. I don't like the conditions I'm in. I there's something greater for me. Lord, deliver me. That's the grace of God. You wouldn't have that feeling going on inside you if his grace wasn't upon you to open your eyes to the truth. There's many people in the world, they have no conscience of sin. They wallow in sin. Like a pig wallows in the mud. They wallow in it and they're happy with it. They play in it. But a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost can't. It grieves your spirit.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. You don't seek God. God seeks you. It's always the seeker, God, seeking the lost, not the lost seeking God. You couldn't have nothing to do with it. You're not saved tonight on any merits of your own or anything. You're saved because God's sovereign grace called you to Jesus Christ, the only way. It ain't whether you keep Sabbath days or new moons or whether you eat meat or don't eat meat or whether you do this or that. You're saved by grace and grace alone. That's the only thing. Now listen to this. This is something important he's about to say. So I'm going to make a point so you listen to this. Now, when you can get that in your mind and settle down, it's nothing you can do about it. You'll find out the same thing works by healing. Divine healing is the children's bread. But I have to be good enough, Brother John. Oh, fight that thing. Fight that thing.
Amen.
Remember the two people in the paradigm. The sainted woman. Brother Brandon was not against the sainted woman. He was using it as an example. She was a Christian. But when she came into the paradigm trying to receive healing, she kept saying, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. You know what? And she was right. But who is worthy? That's the devil that puts that condition on it. If being saved and being healed depended on us being worthy, nobody be saved and nobody be healed. But God is no respecter of persons. You're saved by grace through faith. And Brother Bram is saying healing is the same way. That's what he taught throughout his ministry. So the prostitute woman, a woman who's living an unclean life, a woman who, it's a shame to think about what that kind of woman's living. You're receiving money and giving away her body. You know who? That's horrible. She stands there in the prayer line. Says, I believe what he's saying. I'm not worthy. But Jesus paid it all. And he said the sainted woman walked by and missed her healing. But the prostitute woman was saved and healed right there.
Amen.
Proving. It's not about what we do. It's about what he did for us. So the disappointment to Brother Branham and to all of us is when we put so many conditions on things that we don't get healed. Because in our mind we're reasoning, well, I'm not special and, you know, I didn't behave right the other day. We got to blow out the chutes. Greatest battle ever fought. Blow that out. Get the fire down the flue. Shoom! and say what the word says. He is the high priest that makes intercession on my profession. Right now, he's a great high priest that does exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or pray, not based on what I do, not based on how good I am, but based on the finished work of Calvary. By his stripes, I was healed.
Amen.
I am healed today.
Thank you, Lord.
Sickness be gone from me today. Cancer be gone from me today. Headaches are gone today. Depression is gone today.
Amen.
He paid it all.
Hallelujah.
Be bold with the word of God.
Amen.
Take the word of God
Amen.
To yourself.
Amen.
Believe it. Confess it. And act on it.
Amen.
When you walk out, say, thank you for healing me, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for healing me, Lord. Thank you for healing me, Lord.
Amen.
Praise God for healing me.
Amen.
You know what's going to happen? You're going to start believing it.
Amen.
I thought I already believed it. Say it with your mouth.
Amen.
Confess it with your mouth. I love that quote. Brother Branham says they were in the upper room praising God for the Holy Ghost that hadn't come yet. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. How are they praising God for the Holy Ghost when it hadn't come yet? Because he told them it was coming.
Amen.
Go and wait until you receive the promise from on high. Praise God. That's a promise worth waiting on. The Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
It's not just some optional thing. It's the token. It's the seal. It's the power of God. It's the life of God. It has everything we have need of. All the attributes of the stature of the perfect man, they're in the Holy Ghost. You can work your way in a human level and on this level and this level and this and try and climb your up those stairs, or you can get the Holy Ghost and you got it all.
Amen.
Praise, that's God's providing way. When we climb our way, we say, I did this, I did that. When he just gives it to us, we say, he did it all.
Amen.
No glory to me, all glory to him.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. You guys are wearing me out today.
Amen.
All right. Healing is the same as salvation. Is that right?
Amen.
Do not accept sickness.
Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Do not accept sin binding you.
Amen.
I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God.
Amen.
Bad thoughts, I rebuke thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, get out of me. They lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. In my name, they shall cast out devils.
Amen.
Devil, I'm laying hands on myself. Get out of me.
Amen.
I know it seems like we're crazy people, but we're not. We're the only sane people on the face of the earth. I know it's strange, but hallelujah. Same by healing. If God will help me, Brother Branham talking in a few minutes, I'll show you that healing is on the same basis. It's God's unconditional covenant, not what you can do for him. We got to get that. We have to have that. There's a time coming on this earth. You got to have that. You'll see. When things are not going to stay as they are. The Lord is coming back. Judgments are going to be striking this earth. There is a bride that's going to stand up in the midst of time of trouble.
Amen.
And you know what she's going to believe? He paid it all.
Amen.
It's not that I'm worthy that I'm standing up. He's picking me up.
Amen.
Praise God. You got to have that in your mind. Someone said, Brother Branham, when you was off those 8 months, almost to a breakdown, did you keep your religion? I love this. I said, no, sir, my religion kept me. My religion kept me. That's it. It isn't whether I can hang on. It isn't whether I can hold out. It's whether he holds out. Whether he held out. Nothing I can do. It's what he has done for me. What Christ has done for me in God. That's the reason I'm saved tonight. Yes, sir. Not what I could do. Not by good works were we saved. But by his mercies, God has saved us in Christ unconditionally.
Amen.
Last little paragraph. We were Gentiles, alienated from God, cut off without hope, without mercy. Christ, in his sovereign grace, died in our stead, taking our place. So it's not nothing we've done, nothing we could boast in. Paul said, God forbid that he boast save in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's right. In Christ he boasted.
Amen.
See, salvation and healing are completely based on what God has already done for us. Many times Brother Brandon would stand there and say, if Jesus came here tonight and he put on this suit of clothes, he couldn't save you. He couldn't heal you. He already did it. And we have to accept that and believe that and confess that and walk in it. Praise God. You know, it's so simple, but yet it's what people struggle with the most. The simple parts. It's not on our merits. It's not on how good we are. It's not based on our works at all. You know, I was thinking about this grace. It's a wonderful thing to think about. Think on these things. What do we think about? So I was just, you know, how we pray and we meditate with God, and I was thinking about grace. And, you know, I thought, Lord, how we need the grace of God. How we need the mercy of God. So I believe what we truly need today is the ability to see. Think about it now. To see what God has already done for us. And to receive it as a finished work. To see it in such a light. Not just intellectually, but really a true revelation. We can see he died for me. You know, I was a little boy raised in the Catholic Church, and I heard the story of Jesus. I heard about the cross. I heard all that. We did the Stations of the Cross every year, and you know, we did all that. I knew that. If you ask me, did Jesus die? Yeah, he died. Yeah. I believe that. But there's a difference when it gets quickened to us. He took my place. I believe I am saved because of what he did that day. As a little boy, they never taught me that. They taught me to light a candle, to say a prayer, say to our fathers, the Hail Marys, and all that. See, all these works we had to do. It's just a distraction from the main thing. It's a distraction from the main event. I don't want to be distracted from the main event. I want to see the main event. I want to see Calvary every day. I want to see that the Lamb of God took away the sins of the world, but he took away my sins. Every day I want to see that. Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So let's go back to these Jews that didn't see Jesus just for a moment. Will you bear with me a little bit?
Amen.
John chapter 8, if you want to follow along, verse 33. Maybe I'll stop yelling. Somebody said Jeremiah was shouting. Is that right? Was he too loud? All right, good. I got to meet Jeremiah. John chapter 8, verse 33. This is right after, you notice, in John 8, 32, it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now look at verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now let me stop right there. They were blind that they were under bondage. Blind to their own bondage. All right, help us, Lord, to see. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Uh-oh. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Look at the self-righteousness there. They're arguing with God in flesh. Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard from God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born in fornication. That was a dig at Jesus, you know. They believed he was born in fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. You know, is that the truth?
Amen.
That was the truth.
Hallelujah.
Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words.
Amen.
Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God.
Amen.
Then the Jew answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well, thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Woo! That's my Jesus. He's telling them. He was God. Manifested in flesh. And they couldn't see it. Why couldn't they see it? They were blind. They couldn't see who he was. And here they're the Pharisees. They're the priests. They're the religious leaders. They're the scribes. They're the ones that should know. But who knew? Peter. Unlearned and ignorant fisherman. Because he got some grace. He got a direct revelation, eyes open. Who does man say that I am? Right? Jesus was testing to see where the grace had fallen. Who does man say? Some say to our Elias. Some say to our prophets. Some say, who say ye that I am?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Peter goes, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living
Amen.
God. The Christ, Messiah. Blessed art thou, Peter. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You didn't learn it from some seminary. You didn't have some brother teach it to you. You got a direct revelation from Almighty God about what God is doing today. That's grace.
Woo. Hallelujah.
And when God's moving in the day and you can't see it, how can you call that grace? When you're blind to what God's doing. When you're blind to who Jesus is. Oh my. So Jesus, he just hits him with a 2x4 over the head when he says, verily I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see. Now, it was the truth, but to them, that was like, who does this guy think he is? And then the Jews said to him, now we know thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad." Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham?" And Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am." Oh, he must have loved that. I am that I am. I am the great I am. And while he's revealing himself, most of the people around him were blind to it. Isn't that amazing? God sends a mighty prophet on this day, vindicated by the word of God, a promised prophet, a scriptural prophet, a scriptural sign, a scriptural message. And most people blind to it. Could care less about it. Well, grace is on me, Brother John. But I don't know, Brother Bram, really. He had bad grammar, you know.
Hallelujah.
You're blind. You're blind to it. Don't tell me grace is upon you while you're blind at what the mighty thing that God has done in this day.
Amen.
And then people say, "Well, I see it. I see it, Brother John." Except I don't feed on the message at all. Wait a minute now. How can you say that grace is on you and you can see clearly? You know what? You don't understand the value of it.
Right.
It's like someone says, "Oh, I believe the Bible is the Word of God, but I never read it." Wait a minute. Time out. Who are you kidding? That's not grace. That's self-deception. There's a spirit on you that you need to get off of you. You need to be crying out to God, "Lord, deliver me. Lord, give me a hunger for your word. Lord, give me a hunger for the message of the hour." I tell you what, you don't have to pray long with God. You just got to be sincere. You got to be sincere. "Lord, deliver me." He's a great Savior. He's a great deliverer. But he couldn't save those that didn't think they needed deliverance.
Amen.
He couldn't save those that were blind to their own bondage. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Our prayer to God should be, "Lord, help me to see. Help me to understand what's right. Help me to see my own condition, my own need, God. Help me to see what I need, that I can cry for it. Help me, Lord. I don't want to be deceived by the devil. The masses are deceived today. I don't want to go in that broad way that leads to destruction. Lord, I want to go in a narrow way. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Lord, I want to go that way. Lord, help me, Lord." Jesus, before Abraham was, I am. How about when he was in the garden? All the power of all the universe pent up in a man. About to lay his life down. And just for a little glimpse, where's Jesus? "I am he." Boom, they went backward. Woo, I would have loved to have been there. I was there. You were there. If we were in him, we were there. Praise God. He is the great I am. He's not the second person of a Trinity. He is all the Trinity, bodily and flesh. When we get by the grace of God get to the other side and we're in an immortal body and we have immortal eyes and we finally see Him. We're not going to see three. We're going to see one, and it's going to be Jesus.
Hallelujah.
King Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And when we get to the other side, all the people that bore their reproach on this side, they're going to be held in esteem there. Think of all the martyrs. Their life was shortened here. But what a reward over there. So again, what was their problem? They couldn't see who Jesus was. They were blind, these priests. They had eyes, but they could not see. They had ears, but they couldn't hear. Can you imagine? They literally heard the words of Jesus Christ. But it bounced off. Didn't penetrate. Oh Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. God sends us a mighty message. What happens to us? It should be transforming us. It should penetrate all the carnality. I want you to know, I believe it does penetrate everything. If grace is upon us, it'll penetrate through all the layers of reasoning, all of our ideas, all man-made ideas, all it'll penetrate into our souls. And the Word will penetrate and transform. And His Spirit will pour on that, and you will be the Word made flesh again. Not me. Can you imagine how Peter felt? He's down there in the pit of sorrow because he denied Jesus Christ on that great night. I denied Him. How could I deny Him? I told Him I'd die for Him. Ah! How could I do that? He wept bitterly. Do you think he felt like a worthy man? Do you feel like he thought, well, you know, God, I can lead your movement? That's the farthest thing from his mind. But see, the grace of God was on him. Though he didn't have the ability in himself to stand up, he saw correctly. God didn't throw him away. You know, sometimes God takes us through self defeat to show us something. Not to throw us away, but to get us ready for something else.
Amen.
Something greater. There's something great coming from God. I know it. There's coming such an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It'll take us in a rapture and grace. We can't do it ourselves. Then on the day of Pentecost, they're waiting. The Holy Spirit comes down like a sound of mighty rushing wind. Filled all the house of your setting. It was time. It was time for the birth of the church. And they looked at each other and they saw a little fire. Oh God, send the fire.
Amen.
They tried to speak their language and another language came. And the people that heard him were like, how do they speak in all of our different languages? They weren't doing it. God was doing it. Oh, don't you long for that? Don't you long for God to just take control of his church? He's going to do it. He promised to do it. Oh, grace. John 1 says this. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus. He is the Word, right? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. For He was before me. He was before me. And of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. grace and truth. See, I believe grace and truth are connected. This is what I saw as I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about God. I'm saying, God, what are you trying to show me? Grace and truth are connected. Grace allows you to see the truth. Without the grace of God, we can't see at all. We're blinded. I don't know about you. I don't want to be blind. I don't want to be blind to what God's doing. I don't want to be blind to my own condition. Remember, he giveth grace to the humble. He resisteth the proud. Giveth grace to the humble. It's always the answer for us. Humble yourself. You have a conflict in a relationship? Humble yourself. But they're not. Who cares? They can't see. If you can see, humble yourself. That gives grace. Brings grace. The way up is down. See how low you can be. See how little you can be. Don't require anything from anybody. Brother John, I can't do that. I know you can't, but he can. That's his covenant. Unconditional love. Unconditional grace. Don't you see? If grace comes on us and into us and penetrates us and has preeminence in us, the truth is in our mind. We see the greater truth and we're able to be channels of his grace. We're not mad at sinners because we see the truth of their condition. It's an evil spirit that did that. We see the truth that there's a soul in prison under there. And we want them delivered. Amen. And Jesus can deliver.
Amen. Good,
so we humble ourselves and we give them a glimpse of him. Because if we get them to him, it's all over. It's all over. Praise God. We can't save anybody, but he can.
Amen.
If we get out of the way, though, he can take control of our being. His spirit can move through us. Right? Doesn't the Bible say that your words should minister grace to the hearers? Show me where the Bible says your words should be judgment and criticism to everybody. It's not there. It's not there. Help me, Lord, to be full of grace and truth. Oh, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want him in control of my life. He can be the husband I can't be. He can be the father I can't be. He can be the worker that I can't be. He can be everything that everybody needs. Oh my. I took too long. Can we go to Revelation 11 real quick?
Amen. Please, brother.
Oh, brother, that's why I'm afraid to go to Africa, brother. I'll tell you. They'll preach me to death. I know it. I just know it. I'm a little afraid of them. They're so hungry, they just pull God out of you. Help me, Lord. Romans 11, verse 5. Even so, then, at this present time, also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. You know, I believe in Israel right now. See, he's fixing to turn back to them. Oh, my. And if by grace then there's no more works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, it is no more there's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which is seen, but by election hath attained it. The rest were what? Blinded. No grace on them. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am the apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them be but life from the dead?
Amen.
For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, that's what the Gentiles were, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt then say, then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, Israel, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Oh, we need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's not optional. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye be wise in your own conceits, that blindness is in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So all Israel shall be saved, as written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Grace is going back to Israel. I believe it. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they may attain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Who hath given him to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. 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 Praise God. I have to stop now. Praise the Lord. But I want you to meditate on your life. This is what I want you to do. I want you to pray. And I want you to be sincere with God. I want you to make time for God. We all have to make time. Our lives will always be consumed by all these other things. Make some time for God and say, God, help me to see. I want to see my own condition. I want to see my need. Help me to see what you want me to do. It's such a simple prayer. It's such a simple prayer. And I was going to read to you, I want some homework, Romans 5, verse 19. Start there. Romans 5:19, and then read all through Romans chapter 6. Talks about sin. And you know, if you're in sin, you're the servant of sin. How can we be there born again, be living in sin? That's not grace. To be blinded by the devil, to be living for the devil. That's not grace. God help us to see. Let's all stand. Oh, Lord, help us. Oh, Lord Jesus, praise the Lord. Oh, my Jesus. Jesus. Jeremy would come. Yeah.
I'd like to share a testimony. When I come back from Florida, the first time after Alexis's accident.
Can everybody hear Jamie? You got this, Amber? Yeah, let's use this. We got it. So.
When I came back the first time from Florida, it was a tough time there. You know, I was dealing with so many things over the accident. And so I came back, and I was going through a lot of strange things was going on with my body, you know. And I remember even the following Sunday when I got back, came to service, I had got out of my chair like 3-4 times, you know, just being afflicted. I went in the bathroom. And so anyway, that whole week, it was just a battle. I was feeling, and I'm not a doctor guy, because I, you know, just listening to that preaching, that's what I believe, you know, that God is saying yesterday, today, and forever, and we're healed by his stripes.
Amen.
You know, and we just need to claim it.
Amen.
But anyway, that whole week, and I was doing a job at night for a friend of mine. He was his bedroom for his children. So I was up on my, that Sunday after it happened, I was going through it. Or that Tuesday, I said, you know what, I'm going to go to the doctor. So I went to this urgent care, right? And I told the doctor, he's like, so they did this EKG on me. I knew my heart was good by the grace of God. He said, oh, your heart's fine. You know, just take care of it. I think you're having a bout of anxiety, he said. And I said to myself, you have anxiety, you know what I'm saying? I'm not claiming it. But that week I'm going, and that Thursday before service, I was working at my friend's place, and I was up on my stilts. So all of a sudden, now I'm having this shortness of breath, and I'm up on my stilts. He's talking to it. I'm like, and I'm binding this spirit, just like, you know, and somebody said I had a panic attack. I said, I ain't had no panic attack, you know. So I think Friday I was here by myself praying, or Friday morning. And I said, you know what? I've had enough of this, you know what I'm saying? So I came in Friday morning before I went to work, and I just dropped there on my knees, and I'm hollering out, you know, because, you know, sometimes we got to really, you know, believe it, but just bring it to the Lord, you know, just give your all and all to him, you know.
Amen.
And all that came to my thought that morning was Brother Freeborn. He always talked about this man who was in the Outback, and he wasn't Christian,
right,
but he had this carnal faith that, you know, he got paralyzed.
Yep.
And he was out in the Outbacks, and nobody liked this guy, but he told the lady that she was pregnant at the hospital, before you have your baby, I'm going to walk again, you know what I mean? And he wasn't no Christian. I'm like, this guy's got, and so I just poured out my spirit there that day before the Lord and said, God, you know, I'm healed. That devil kept fighting me with the prayers, and I finally just, this peace came through. And I was in the presence of the Lord, you know?
Amen.
It was a battle for like 25 minutes to the half hour. I just kept, I'm not leaving here, God, until you heal me.
Amen.
I'm not taking this anymore. Man, this was like 2 weeks ago. And right there, that day, I left it here.
Amen.
And God healed me. So I want to praise God that he's
Amen.
Still the same
praise
yesterday,
God.
Today, and forever.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe it.
Amen.
In the presence of Jehovah.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that. We know that, Jeremy. Presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace. Yes, Lord, ease trouble.